we have standards and authorities in all the affairs of this life. Otherwise, chaos would fill the earth. Just think for a moment as we look at the various divisions within our lives and think of how it would be if there was no authority. What if school would meet just whenever? I see Carly nodding her head and she likes that. But what if you didn't know who your teacher was going to be or what class to be in? There has to be some authority there. What about our jobs? What if there was no authority in our job? There was no boss. Some people might like that as well. But who's going to write the paycheck? What about our home? What if there is not authority within the home? What about our election process? Sometimes we doubt whether or not there's authority there, but there is. Religion is no exception. Today, if we visit some places, we might think that there's no authority in place. How many different religions are there? How many different divisions are there in so-called Protestantism? How much division is there in Christendom? Sadly, how much division is there in the church? What is the standard? Who is the authority? Shall the religion of our fathers be accepted as the standard? I guess by now you've figured out that we're speaking about authority in religion. But if we look at our religion and we look at the religion of our fathers, should we accept it on face value? I know when we were small, when we were children, our parents told us something, we took it to be the truth. But in the case of religion, if we accept that which is of our fathers, would that make us right? No. Our parents were not agreed. Now, some of you may have been blessed with Christian parents who believed, who had obeyed, who brought their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I applaud them. But some of us were not. Each person, were they so inclined to do so, could trace their generations back, or trace their family tree back 7 generations, and they would find 128 parents. These certainly differed in religion. Some of these were members of one faith or one denomination, some another. Some had one creed book, some yet another. Surely all of these being different were not authorized from the same source. Oh, you know what they'll say, we all use the Bible, but do we properly use the Bible? And so, as we investigate authority in religion, let us turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. We're going to see a case given to us in the Bible where the Apostle Paul had to give up the religion of his ancestors. We know Paul's history. We know that he was a Jew, that he was a Pharisee, that he was of the tribe of Benjamin, but he had to give that up because that law had been done away with, nailed to the cross, and put away, fulfilled, and a new law was in place. The passage reads, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past of the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous of the tradition of my fathers." We see here that Paul was looking back and telling them that they knew of his history, that they knew that he was a Jew, a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin, and zealous toward serving God. But what did he understand? Because of the authority that God has placed in religion, he had to give up the tradition of his fathers and follow God. Shall we accept our conscience as our guide? We've already seen how that we must not, on face value, take the religion of our parents and apply that as what God would have us do. But what about our conscience? Shall we accept or use our conscience as the guide or as the authority in our religion? I think not. This causes me, of course, to remember Jiminy Cricket. I know you remember Jiminy Cricket, Disney's character, the cute little green cartoon, singing to a puppet, to a marionette. I looked up the words of that song. I'm not going to sing the song, of course, but listen to some of these words. Take the straight and narrow path. Nothing wrong with that suggestion. And if you start to slide, give a little whistle. Give a little whistle. And always let your conscience be your guide. Sounds like good advice. It sure is delivered in a very nice way, a way that you can remember it. His little top hat and his umbrella, singing a song and whistling. But what if the conscience is the guide? What if the conscience is our authority? We see then that we have as many standards as we have individuals. There are a number of individuals here today, and we might have different thoughts on things. If we follow our conscience, we will end up following our own opinions. Now I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of First Opinions. I'm glad that I did not hear pages turning. But do you know that this morning there are many people preaching out of First Opinions? Seriously, though, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. We will see what we have here is not man's opinion. It is not what man feels is right. He is telling them what God said to do. This will show us the fallacy of following opinions. It shows the reaction when folks are faced with choosing based upon opinions. They usually become noncommittal, lest they offend others. We're just not going to do anything, or we're not going to say anything so we don't offend people. And Elijah came unto the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." I think it's very fitting when you read the last phrase. "And the people answered him, not a word." They did not want to say, "We want to follow our conscience." What was the opinion of the people in this passage? We don't know. The reason we don't know is because it's not told us. Most religious people of the world today are conscientious. In other words, they like to follow their conscience. They're conscientious in other parts of life, but disagree on religion. They say, "Well, our creed book says such and such." And another one says, "But our creed book says this and that." It's even to the point where people will take the word of God and they'll hold it up and say, "The Bible says this." They have taken new translations, and they've allowed them to be the authority. We have creed books. We have catechisms. We have all these kind of things. Many heathen today are conscientious in many areas of their life. But all are wrong. Open your Bibles to Titus chapter 1 verses 12 through 16. We can see what was said of the Cretans and how their conscience had been defiled. And I ask you this morning, if we want to follow our conscience as the authority, do we want to end up as they ended up? Titus chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know not God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Do we want to follow our conscience? We say we are very conscientious people. Paul was very conscientious when he was persecuting the Christians. Acts chapter 22, verses 39 through 23, shows us that he thought he was doing what was right. He thought he was faithfully serving God. And he continued with all of the zeal that he could muster to persecute the church. Acts 22, 39 through 23, verse 1. On the morrow, because he would not have known the certainty wherefore he was being accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." What day? The day in which he was speaking? No, the day in which he found out the truth. If Paul's conscience could be his guide, he would have been right in his option, in his actions. The day he was speaking of was the day when he found out the truth of the gospel, when he was told what to do to have his sins washed away. Prior to that, he lived in all good conscience before God. He was doing what was right, and you could not convince him otherwise. He had previously been following his conscience and the tradition of his fathers. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. Shall we follow the decisions of the majority? How many times have we heard, "But everybody else is doing it"? I know as a child, that's often used. Everybody does it, and I got the same story everybody else did. If everybody jumped off a cliff, you're going to jump too. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. The Bible speaks of this. He does not use the term majority, but we can see what is being said. It uses the word multitude. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. We need to understand if we follow a majority, we will be lost. We find this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he told them, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." There have been many who have put forth the idea the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I've actually had people tell me that it's in the Bible. I've yet to find it. But the idea and the thought is there. These people have in their mind a clear conscience. They're doing what they think they should do in order to serve God. They have good intentions. But what did Jesus say? "But few there be that find it." Because few there be that appeal to the authority of the Bible. Shall we accept church councils as leaders? No. Men will lead you astray. Always, always check the word. I have a problem. I am real bad when I'm putting my sermons together and putting my notes together. I'll write down one verse and put down another verse. And I'll see people's confusion when I call out one verse and they've flipped in their Bibles and they've taken the time to find it. It ain't there. Because I'm reading somewhere else in the Bible. Always check the Word. If you cannot find it and prove it with God's Word, reject it immediately. Because it's wrong. Church councils often contradict each other. And often different councils or groups within the same body contradict each other. And then when they do so, they embarrass themselves. God's word will never embarrass you. New denominations have been started because of things like this. "Well, I just don't see that passage that way. I'm going to go off here and I'm going to gather to me a group of people and we're going to start our church." Well named. It is your church. Because you started it. Because you decree what you're going to believe, what you're going to teach, how you're going to practice, how you're going to worship. But when we go to the Word of God, we see what God says to be done. Man is not equipped, according to Jeremiah 10:23, to direct his own steps. God did not put man here on the earth and say, make a go of it and let's see how good you do. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Oh, Adam and Eve, they were following somebody else's advice. What if they had followed their own? They made the decision. They allowed Satan to direct their steps. How'd that work out? They were expelled from the garden. Now, shall we accept the Bible as the authority in religion? Of course we should. But why? But because the preacher said so. Because our people have always worshipped using the Bible? No, that's not the reason. What makes the Bible more authoritative than any other religious writing? Simply because it's the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us this. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I know in reading commentaries, people will say Paul said, Peter said, or Paul wrote, or Paul had in mind such and such and this and that. Paul had in mind to write exactly what the Spirit told him. When he spoke prior to the completion of the written word, when Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, he was told what to say. It wasn't a quick huddle and God saying, okay, here's the play. You call it out. And then leave him to call it the way he wanted to call it out. Direct influence of the Holy Spirit. Specifically telling them what they should say. The writers of the Old Testament have the same guidelines or the same guidance in their writings. They were instructed what to write. What we find in the pages of inspiration are not the words of Moses, Elias, Elijah, Matthew, Peter, John, James, or Paul. What we have is God's Word. And so, it is the Word of God. But what will it do for us? Why is it the authority? Because it furnishes us unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, a passage that we should all know and be able to quote. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And why is that important? Why should we use the Bible as the authority? Because the Bible says so. Because God says so. That's valid reasons. But when we stand before the judgment bar of God, we will not be judged by the book of opinions. We will not be judged by our conscience. We will not be judged by the creeds of men. We will be judged by the authoritative, perfect law of liberty, the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, we have a glimpse into that glorious day when the judgment will occur. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. When it says, I saw another book opened, it doesn't mean a book separate and apart from the Word of God. Yes, it does. And that is the book of life. But those who have applied properly and obeyed from the heart the Word of God are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, how can that be? They're written there because God is the one that saves. Notice that it says they will be judged according to their works. Ah, I thought you said they were going to be judged according to the Bible. Their works will be compared to the Word of God. And if they have done what the Word of God says, if they have properly applied the Word of God as the authority in religion and done those things, their names will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, how can I get my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? I feel pretty good about my religion. I like it. You know, my mom and daddy, my grandmama, 14 generations have all been part of this same church. My great-great-granddaddy helped lay the brick. You've heard those kind of things. It's not the building. It's not the structure. We can meet down here in the fellowship hall. We can meet anywhere as we gather ourselves together as the church. But we must follow what God said. So how can I abandon opinion, my conscience, the creeds of man? I can do what God has said. Well, what has God said? How can we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? By obeying from the heart that form of doctrine. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10:17 that we must hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, we are to believe. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. According to Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, Saul, after he had been converted, showed first to them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Romans 10 and 9 tells us that we must confess, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Where does all this come from? It comes from the Word of God. And we must not leave out baptism. We must be baptized. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not putting away the filth of the flesh, according to 1 Peter. For those who have been baptized into Christ and have allowed sin to enter into their lives and therefore separated themselves from God, there is way to access the blood of Christ. And that is through repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Perhaps today there is someone here in this audience that have not put on Christ in baptism. You need to be fully aware of the fact that your opinion does not matter. Your conscience cannot be your guide. And you cannot trust what man would tell you. Only trust what the Bible will tell you. And if you want to be a child of God, you can be. Today we are ready. You can be baptized into Christ. Have your sins washed away and be named with the saints. Perhaps also there are those here who have not, who have been baptized and have allowed sin to separate between them and God. If the sin is that of a private nature, you need to repent and pray. But if it is that of a public nature, you need to repent publicly, and we will pray with you. As we open our songbooks and sing the selected song, I ask you, as we stand, if you need to come, do so at this time.